Now, as we come to worship the Lord, let us hear his word. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, the promise of good news was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was known as the royal city of King David, and our first carol is Once in Royal David's City. Come to God in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bow and thank you that every good and gracious gift comes from your hand. We thank you that the greatest gift that you have given to us is your Son, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us the right, the authority to be called children of God. And we rejoice in the message that Christmas brings to us. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. We glorify the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior. Help us tonight by your Holy Spirit as we sing carols and listen to the lessons read from your word, that we might indeed be able to embrace what the Christmas message is. Lord, we do pray that you will forgive us for neglecting you. Forgive us for not worshiping you. Forgive the thoughts and the words and those deeds that we know are wrong. We pray, our God, that you will strengthen us, that we might glorify you in our lives. We thank you that when we confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be pleased, therefore, to hear our prayers. Let us now join together to pray as our Savior taught us to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For even if you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel."
again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who would be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. And he will stand and shepherd his flock, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders.
the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her.
Said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David,
because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Ah, there is a congregation. I guess it won't be too long now until Santa Claus comes. The Christmas decorations are up. They've been up for some time. The Christmas tree is covered with bright lights. There are already several presents under the tree. And the kids have already been handling those presents, trying to guess what's inside the wrapping. And maybe some of the adults have been doing the guessing game as well. The turkey and the ham have been ordered. Now, I know I've got quite an Asian congregation, and I'm not sure whether this list of foods that I'm just about to set out applies, but if you can do a little bit of use your imagination, that'll help me out considerably. But just as soon as the Christmas lunch is over, the pace slows down. As a matter of fact, in about 2 weeks from now, the turkey sandwiches will all have been eaten. The turkey curry will have finished, and the turkey fricassee will have been cleared. Christmas pudding, crackers, cheese, samosas, I thought I would throw that one in just to identify, tinsel, chocolates, presents, silly hats, pantomime, school play. You remember to recycle your Christmas wrapping. The credit card bill, no, that you're going to have to wait to January until you get that. Christmas can be a pretty packed program. And I think I've covered most things that Christmas is about, or have I? Maybe you've already guessed that I've left out the most important thing, Jesus Christ. We've left Christ out of Christmas. And that can be a real danger for us, because Christmas is a pretty packed program. We're very busy, and it is possible for us that Christ is left out and there is no room for Jesus, the Son of God. No room in your thoughts, no room in your heart for Jesus Christ. Now, it's great that you've come to church tonight to spend some time singing these wonderful carols. And every year that we sing them, I look at them and I see that they are so packed with so much truth. It's good that you take a few minutes to come to church, because in the cut and thrust of arranging Christmas, you might get so busy that there's no room for Jesus. You might not mean to leave Christ out of Christmas. It's just that other things seem to swallow up our time and our attention. I want to bring a challenge to you tonight, to us all, in fact, because I want you to break a long tradition. I want you to break a habit. I want us all to stop leaving Jesus out of our plans. I want us to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a long tradition that definitely needs to be broken. It's the tradition that there is no room for Jesus. And that's a tradition that dates right back to the very first Christmas, when Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem on that first Christmas. There was no room found for them in the inn, and Jesus was born in a stable, a building only fit for animals, and he was placed in an animal feeding bowl to have his very first sleep while here upon earth. Who was Jesus that he could be treated like this? He was the Son of God, and through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, God created this whole world. When God was making this world, I wonder, did he pause for a moment over places like Bethlehem, over places like Golgotha? Golgotha was the hill upon which the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. When the shape of that hill was made, when the grass was created, was there reflection between God the Father and God the Son? In a day to come, in this very place, men will take you and they will crucify you. When that tree was planted, out of which the cross would eventually be cut, did heaven ponder, did heaven reflect? What about Bethlehem? As God was creating the world, as the hills were constructed, as the soil was laid, was there moments reflection? This Bethlehem place will be your entry point into the world, the place where the Son of God will be born. It will be a place where they will find no room for you, no room for the Maker, no room for the Creator, no room for the one who sustains all things. It's incredible to think that that could happen. At a certain point in time, and we don't know when, God put it into the heart and mind of a farmer that he needed to build a stable. The farmer had no idea that the Son of God would become a man and that this child would be born in this stable. God was putting in place all the instruments that would accompany Christ's birth and eventually his death. God was arranging all this, yet there was no room for Jesus in the inn. As a matter of fact, throughout the lifetime of Jesus, many had no time for him, no room for him. Jesus had healed a man who was ill, and the local town committee came to see Jesus to ask him to leave. We don't want your sort here. We don't want you. Many times people tried to stone him to death. On the night of crucifixion, the unruly mob cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him. We have no room for him. We don't want him." What would we have done if we had been there? Would we have stood up for Jesus? Would we have cried out against this great injustice? I really don't know how to give an honest answer to that question. But there might be some clues that help us decide where we would have stood on such an issue, what we would have said. Have we given Jesus any room in our thinking, in our hearts, in our thanksgiving, in an expression of gratitude for all that he has done for us? Have we given Jesus any room this Christmas? The answer to that question might help you if you were trying to think, what would you have done back then? What are you doing now? Now, you may say, what do you mean to give Jesus room? In what way do you expect me to give the Lord Jesus Christ room? Let me try and illustrate it for you in a number of ways. Let's think of an example. Suppose you worked in the checkout at the local supermarket. One day the manager comes to you and he tells you that you're going to be a supervisor. And he asks you to go out and arrange tea breaks for all the workers. You're a bit nervous. You've never had to arrange things for people before. And your nervousness shows and the workers just laugh at you. Because they don't know. They weren't told that you've been made a supervisor. The manager hadn't informed them. They don't do what you suggest. They don't listen to you. They don't heed a word you say. They make their own arrangements and ignore you. You could say that they have given you no room, no attention, no thought, no response. Or let's suppose we're trying to get children to behave, and you say, stop that, don't do that, and they just keep on doing what they were doing. They don't listen, they don't want to know, they have no time for what you're saying, they have no room for you. Many times, it's not my conscious decision to give Jesus no room. Many times, it's just, I can't be bothered. I don't want to think about it. It's a can't be bothered type of attitude. When we talk about giving Jesus no room, we really mean that we don't want to think about him. We don't want to pay any attention to what he says. And we don't really want to think about why he really came to earth in the first place. What was the meaning of that first Christmas? Why did he come? What did he come to do? Now, this is where we have got to start getting pretty serious about things, because this is a very important message. The Christmas story is not a fairy tale. When Jesus came into the world that first Christmas, he came from heaven to bring to us a message of peace. Why do people not want to bother with Christ? Because it's too demanding. If I let Jesus into my thinking, if I let Jesus into my heart, what might he require of me? What would he say? There are many aspects of the message that Jesus came to bring. And he wants us to listen to what he has to say and give him room this Christmas. What is at the heart of what Jesus came to say? What is the main activity that Jesus came to do? Jesus came to provide salvation for a people that he loved, for a people that he wanted to bless, for a people that he wanted to heal, for a people that he wanted to save. Now, while we neglect and ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, while we have no room for him, we are missing out on salvation. We are missing out on forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. We're missing out on a relationship with the Holy God. We're missing out on the hope of being in heaven. While we neglect and ignore Christ, our lives don't get changed. Broken relationships, abused children, murder, theft, corruption, all are signs that things are not well. They're not going well. Maybe that doesn't really, though, describe the type of person you are, because maybe you are the type of person who has never attempted to do anyone any harm. You've gone to church, but you've no real certainty at all that you're going to be in heaven. The person who is not certain about being in heaven has never really given room to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ has come to give us the assurance that he will take us to be with him in heaven. While we continue to give Christ no room, the problem in our life only gets worse. Sin takes a stronger hold. The doubt about where we will be in the next life, that lingers on. We build up a mountain of sins and complaints before God. Maybe you're wanting to give Christ his place. Maybe you want to listen to what he's saying. Maybe you want to give him room, but you don't think that Christ would want room in your life. Oh, if only you knew and could understand the love of God expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ, how much he longs to come into your life to change you, to bless you, to give you that assurance that he'll take you to be with himself. God has only got good news for you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, so that he might prepare you so that you can have him in your life, in your thoughts, in your heart. Is there room for the Christ of Christmas, the Christ of Easter? If there is no room for Christ in your life, then God will have no room for you in heaven. When God sent Jesus to be a man, he sent him to become a man and to die on the cross, to punish his own sin, his own son, for the sins that we have committed. But for many, they don't want to give him room. No room in the inn that first Christmas. This Christmas, will there be room in your mind, in your heart, for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. We thank you that he came to bring a message of good news. And it is such good news for us all. Help us to take some time over this Christmas period to reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, that we might turn in gratitude to thank him for what he has done and to embrace that forgiveness that we can only have in Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, for Christ the Savior's sake. Amen. Now let us, by faith, receive the benediction from the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.